Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We are going to go back in time a little bit today and talk about who were we long before we ever in a million years imagined that our boys would end up on a Netflix reality show. For the people that do not know you, and especially because we really do want to be real, who was Elise before people ever had a clue who she was?
Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me, Sis.
Hey, Nikki.
How are you today?
Girl, I am here hanging on by a thread, but
we got this. We got this. We're here for each other. You got your sis. You got all of us. We're all here for you. And before we get into our episode, which we'll dive into, you know, before there was Love on the Spectrum or cameras rolling, there was a version of Lisa Nikki that existed. Yep. So before we get into all of that and to kind of see who we were before, let's get into our plot twist of the week.
Yeah.
And Nikki, I always feel like when we do the plot twist, you legit have such nice heartwarming ones. And I have just idiotic, like circus clown. No offense to circus clowns, but circus clown events going on. So can I start with mine this week?
Yes, please. Because
if yours is good,
I actually have two. I have a not so fun one. And then I actually have a really feel good, inspiring one, but you go first.
Okay. Well, mine's just idiotic lease.
Like, love it.
Just walking through like I do. Connor and I flew home from Las Vegas on Sunday. Right. We had the absolute pleasure of being invited to the Steve Irwin Gala with Wildlife Warriors and everything that the, you know, Steve Irwin Foundation does. It was just an amazing evening. We were guests and it was really fun. So, but it was a very quick trip. So Sunday, ironically, Jack was already going to be my younger son at the airport dropping off his girlfriend's mother to fly back to Tennessee.
Okay.
So we all kind of got there at the same time. So we are waiting at baggage claim and Jack is there, which was rare because normally we would just Uber home. So Jack and his girlfriend and myself and Connor were waiting. And this guy is, and you can see from the picture, good looking older man. And he had on aviator glasses that were mirrored and he's wearing like a bomber jacket and he's definitely older. And he's just staring at me and then Connor and Jack and but really locking in with me from what I could tell from the the mirror glasses. I could tell he was somebody. I was like, how do I know this person? So I'm staring at him and I am going to be embarrassed. I thought he was for a split second Val Kilmer, but we know Val Kilmer has passed away. So
it can't be Val. Yeah.
No, I knew that. And I was like, okay, it's not Val Kilmer. So he kept oddly staring at me and with a smirk. And I thought, do I know him? Why do I know him? Does he know me? So I'm like, do we know each other? And he goes, nope. What I think is, I think he was thinking I was recognizing him. I think he was waiting for me to say. Anyway, he turns around and the back of his jacket has got this big embroidered Cobra Kai, which I am a huge Karate Kid fan.
Okay.
I saw the movies in the theaters back in the 80s. I love Ralph Macchio.
Right.
I watched the new Cobra Kais that came out recently on Netflix, the Karate Kid franchise and all of it. He is Martin Cove, who, if I'm dating myself here, but if you watched the Karate Kid, he was like the mean dojo. He was the leader of Cobra Kai. And he was like the mean.
Yes, the mean one was like, mercies
for the weak. It was him. It was him. But when he turned around and I saw his jacket and I went, oh my God. Anyway, it was a weird plot twist. Like the fact that I thought it was Val Kilmer.
Right.
But then B, I'm like, do we know each other? Like an ass. And he's like, no. But
no,
I think he wanted me to recognize him. And
he was waiting. He was waiting for you to ask.
All crashed on me as soon as he started walking away. And I thought, do I run over to him? I'm like, no, it's just weird at this point. But I Googled him and he's 79. He looks great.
That's insane.
He's a good looking guy. Anyway, that's my plot twist. So,
oh my God, that's a good one. I like that. I like that. That's so funny. But yeah, that was a great movie, Karate Kid. Oh my God.
I loved it.
I loved it. So good. Oh. So good. And you guys, didn't you meet Ralph Macchio recently?
Connor got to FaceTime with Ralph Macchio recently. Yeah. And, you know, I got to pop on and say hi, but it was Connor's moment and it was really sweet. And yeah, so I feel like I'm being orbited by.
I was going to say, is this some kind of weird omen that you guys are headed in that direction? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Doesn't it just bring you back to a time, Nikki? I wish we still lived in.
It was such a good time. It was such a good time. And we did not know what we had till it was gone.
I know.
Like, we really did not know how good things were, but it was. It was a great, and there were such good movies and such good music. Oh my gosh.
So all the things.
All the things.
Well, what's your plot twist?
Here is my bright and happy plot twist of the week. And this just happened this morning, and I got to share it because it's one of those adult autism victories. Tanner's love language is quality time. I really think that is his love, quality time. And his favorite thing to do is to watch a movie together. He loves to watch movies. So when we're there at his apartment together, that I really do my best to make time that he picks a movie and I sit with him and we watch it.
Okay.
So a lot of what he likes are older movies from when he was young that you have to purchase off YouTube. Well, he has struggled with the process of scanning the QR code off the screen of the TV, then navigating to his phone to get into his YouTube to pay for the movie. That's just been a process that has been harder for him to grasp how to do it. So I usually do it when we're there. So I was just there a couple of days ago, showed him again. We walked through the steps. I was like, this is how you do it, buddy. Let's go up. And I had him do it.
Right.
And talk through each step. So I get a text this morning, and capital letters. Mom, yesterday night, I watched The Iron Giant. Mom, I did the thing on the YouTube to get The Iron Giant all by myself.
Oh.
And I texted him back in huge. I was like, did you really? I am so proud. He said, yes, ma'am, I did. I am so proud of me too, because that reminds me in the future when I'm in my late 30s.
I live in Columbia
15 years. And when I watch The Iron Giant with Chief, some days I'm going to be able to do it all by myself there too.
Okay. I love him.
It was just the best. But like for him,
the technology struggles are real.
Even with Connor, Bluetooth headphones drove him nuts for the longest time. And it was really a source of great stress. It was hard on him.
Yeah.
But now he does it and is so proud of himself. But just the whole thing of scanning the QR code, navigating to the right place, going to the phone, finding. And for him, that is just like
a huge
move of independence and a big victory. And it's just, capital letters. There's about 20 exclamation points.
He's shouting. I love that he's thinking about watching with his nephew, with baby Chief, and trying to get the movie on for him. I love that. Nikki, you always get me with these plot twists, and I'm like the jackass looking at Val Kilmer AI at the baggage claim.
It's so crazy how it happens. And that's another thing too. I feel like sometimes on social media and I get perceived or as kind of serious or more sentimental. I'm like, I'm actually not. I'm really not. I'm actually really a goofy gym rat. I'm really not that serious. And I don't, to be quite honest, I don't want to be that serious. I will be when I need to be, but I don't want to be serious all the time. I actually hate serious.
I'm not serious ever.
I'm not serious. I don't want to be serious. I will.
Connor's more mature than I am, for sure.
Yeah. And Tanner's by far more mature than I am on so many levels and nicer too. But anyway, so had a rough thing this week, but every rough thing is an opportunity to learn and to grow. Every difficult experience makes you a better person if you play your cards right, and if you really sit and do some self-reflection, and I definitely have. Hopefully, and then,
onward and upward,
onward and upward, baby, to the next thing. Let's move on. So
yes,
one thing that is happening that is kind of freaking me out, and we're going to put this bird on the screen. I just took a picture of it. I am in my sunroom. Y'all can't see it because you're looking behind me. In front of me is a long line of windows. There is a bird that has a red crown and red on his face, and he is pecking at the window and going roop, 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 and trying to get in. And don't birds symbolize things?
I don't know.
We're gonna
put him on the screen, and I want to know, this bird is like trying to talk to me and trying to get. If anybody knows like any lore about birds and whether they symbolize anything,
we need to Google this.
Please comment. I want to know if this bird immediately is like symbolic of anything that's about to happen. Those were good plot twists. But what we really want to get into this week, since there are lots of new people and we are in another new year of our lives, and we might have people here who didn't listen to our previous episodes, we are going to go back in time a little bit today and talk about who were we long before we ever in a million years imagined that our boys would end up on a Netflix reality show. Yeah. So, Lise, do you want to start off like,
sure,
for the people that do not know you, and especially because we really do want to be real, who was Lise before people ever had a clue who she was?
Gosh, I mean, there's 54 years of that, so I'll spare you. But I think what I want to start with, I think, is what really forged me into, and it would probably go back to about 2007 in my divorce and moving into this home from the family home I shared with Connor's dad and the father of my four children, and then having to start afresh. And Connor was, in 2007, Connor was eight years old when we moved into this house. And, you know, that was just a tough time, you know, and I just think I was a single mom. I hadn't worked. I barely knew how to use email.
Wow.
I was now faced with these four little kids. They were 8, 6, 6, and 2.5. And a couple years into being here, you know, struggling, not being able to, you know, my kids all went to public schools. I had to work. Mm-hmm. I had to pay either daycare, after school care, or sitters. Sitters were a little more luxurious and expensive. So I was trying to do the after school stuff. Even went through a very scary time in 2008, 2009-ish, where I couldn't make the mortgage in this house, and I almost lost it.
Wow.
I got really scarily close and didn't know what I was going to do. Yes, I was getting child support and some help there, but obviously four kids.
It's a lot of kids.
And with autism and diagnosis, and I was trying to get them what services I could afford. And so, you know, there were so many tough years of me by myself with these kids.
Yeah.
Until about 2012, enter Tony, my current husband, absolute angel, great guy.
And good old Tony.
Came into the circus tent, and I warned him multiple times. Like, run.
Are you sure you
lace up
do
your
this?
Nikes and run? And he didn't. He didn't run, and it's been 14 years, and he hasn't run. But that, you know, that there was a very tough, struggling Lise. So I think if I had to say, like, who was I? That's probably the time of my life that really blew up, and I had to step up. And I was an adult. So in 2007, I'd been a married woman for 11 years. That was gone. My parents are alive, and they were around, but I was a grown up with four kids.
Right.
And so it was a time in my life where I was truly thrown to some wolves, and I had to get it together. So I think that's might be a part of me that not a lot of people realize, and also realize that, you know, we were very dependent on whatever services our schools provided. I was very dependent on everything because I was very tight on cash. I had four little kids and my job and whatever child support, and I was trying to make a lot of ends meet, and I wasn't always doing it right. And and then, like I said, Tony came in. Tony had his own kids too, and he had his own stuff that he was managing. So we did the best we could, but it was a lot of really hard work. It was a lot of sacrifice, and it was a lot of rolling our sleeves up and doing without, and then also just, you know, and now that the kids are older and they're starting to launch, you know, life is getting a little less difficult and we're a little bit,
it gets easier.
Exhale a little bit and it feels good. But, you know, it's also, you know, the fruit of a lot of years of hard toiling, and not to use a farming reference because you're the farmers, but, you know, it was a lot of hard work. So I think, I don't know if that sheds a little more light on that I'm not a pristine little princess who's grown up. I've had no silver spoons.
I've been around her.
She's I had not the silver pristine. Plated spoon that broke.
Maybe. It just snapped right in half. Gosh darn it. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Oh my God.
So I don't know if that's a little bit of me before the cameras started rolling. But now it's funny you hear, I've seen it's the silly AI stuff. It's like Connor lives in a mansion. Yeah. It tickles me pink because it's not, but B, I used to be really embarrassed of some of the parts of my house. And in some ways I'm like, wow, I guess.
It's so ironic, isn't it?
My little remodel, people like it. But anyway, so that's a little bit of me. Mm-hmm. Before the cameras rolled, just a petrified woman standing there with four kids going, oh shit, now what do I do?
Now what do I do? Yeah.
For reals.
And you did an amazing job. You've got four great kids. You crushed
it. Thank you.
You crushed it. You really did.
Thank you.
You really did. They're four wonderful human beings. Yeah, I do too. They're a lot of fun.
They are. They are a lot of fun. They're actually really cool kids.
They are really cool people.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I think the win for me, again, even before the camera started rolling, is whatever happened during that divorce time. I think it's one of those moments in your life that you can make or break you, right?
Yep.
You're gonna fold or you're gonna rise up, and
it's gonna take you folding, out, or you're gonna get up. Yeah.
That folding wasn't an option. Obviously, I had four little kids, but it forged me and my four children in like fire. And I
such a tight bond. Yeah.
There really is. And I hate that I had to go through all of that horrible
for that to happen.
Traumatic experience in our lives, like our family blowing up and just all of what we endured. But if I have to find the silver lining in it, it is, oh my gosh,
that closeness.
Yeah. We are like melded, bonded ring.
You
and
are.
I see it. Even I know it, when I'm no longer here, I know my kids have each other's back. And I don't see that in a lot of adults. So I see it in your kids. I actually do. I'm not just saying that.
No, they really are tight.
I'm privy to other adult kid dynamics and I don't always see it there. Yeah. And I'm so happy that my kids have that.
Amen. Same. That is one of the greatest gifts of my life as a mother is watching the relationships between my adult children and how they look out for, cheer on, champion, and care for each other. That is a tremendous, that is up there in the biggest victories of my life. Just knowing that my kids are good human beings who genuinely love each other, who are genuinely going to look out for each other, and the way that they particularly very tenderly care for Tanner. And the fact that they don't just love him, they adore him, they protect him, they push him to the front of the line, and they gladly get behind him. And that is truly like, I couldn't ask for more. I really could not ask for more.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. Who were you, Nikki, before the cameras? I mean, and when do you want to pick? Like what, when, do, I know, when do you think so, was that moment?
Honestly, and I'm not really going to go to a certain time, but I will tell you, insecure, shy, not confident, had very little sense of self growing up. I'm the youngest of four girls and, no shade to my family, but brought up in a very, very strict household where maybe like independence and self-identity was not necessarily, themes that were encouraged or even taught very much. Spent a lot of my life trying to figure out, what do I like? Who am I? What do I really want to do? The one thing I knew I wanted to do was be a mom, but I didn't have a lot of clear direction. So I did get married and got started on that pretty young. And by the grace, I got married when I was 21. I had Taylor when I was 24.
What? 21?
I turned 21 on May 7th and got married on May 29th
in 1993. I had been 21 for 3 weeks.
Think about that. Like, that's my youngest
baby.
I can't, none of my kids are married.
Yeah, that's Jack. That's just a little older than Maverick.
And I didn't join that dot that you got married at 21. Yeah.
And by the grace of God, I married a wonderful man. Mark is a rock. Mark is
Mark.
Genuinely just good person. He's a good father. He's a good husband. He's a good leader. He took care of us. He loves us. And
good provider.
Yeah, I think he is. And I thank God for that every day that I was young and dumb, but he let me match up with a really good man, which, you know, I don't know, getting married that young, how it would have gone if I had married somebody else. If anybody taught me how to like find myself and be confident and not be fearful, which was a big theme of my growing up too, like being timid and being fearful, it was Mark. Mark is one of the boldest, most confident, most, I know who I am, I know what I'm about, no apologies type person in the world that I've ever met.
Yeah.
But in just a very clear, confident way, he isn't trying to take from anyone else. He just knows who he is. Yeah. And that was the first thing I noticed about him and the first thing that I admired. And I think over the years, when you live with someone like that, it you know, you become like the people you live with. It's really rubbed off on me in a good way. And I never really had a lot of huge, clear career ambition. My degree is in nursing. I worked as a nurse up until Tanner got diagnosed. And I loved the people side of nursing. I did not really love the clinical side of nursing. I didn't love the pressure of nursing. I loved relationships and people. And I feel like I was really good at taking care of people and making people feel seen and making people feel safe and that I was not going to leave them. I think I was really good at that part of nursing, but I didn't have like a real true, like just passion for it. So Mark and I reassessed when Tanner got diagnosed. I mean, by then we had three at the time. Maverick came along a little later. And we were busy. It was crazy. I mean, we had the girls, we had Tanner, we had no idea what to do. None, zero, no one to guide us. Our pediatrician was wonderful and did the best she could, but she didn't know either. You know, I mean, none knew. Yeah. We were just shooting in the dark. It was early 2000s. And we quickly decided that what I was making as a nurse was barely covering childcare. You know, there was just really no benefit to me.
It was like Tanner. Canceling out.
It was canceling out. Yeah. And like with three children to provide daycare for. And we just made the decision at that time that it would be best for me to stay home and run Tanner's therapy program and for Mark to work. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you're so privileged. I never said I wasn't. And I never said that that wasn't a huge blessing. It was. But also, we worked our asses off. I mean, we were a team and we dug our heels in and we worked. Mark was relentless with his careers. He worked more than he had to, longer than he had to. He did everything he could to ensure that we could give Tanner every single thing that we thought was beneficial. And I'll never be able to thank Mark for being that kind of a partner. And I will say I did so many things wrong and there's many things I would go back, but I was a good mom. I mean, I've committed my life to raising my children and I was there. And honestly, I don't think I have to look too much further than my four kids to say what kind of job I did. You know what I mean? I mean, like they speak for themselves. I don't have to speak for them. They're wonderful people. And we were a really close family. And I just spoke about this at the conference in Kentucky. While there were many things I would go back and do differently, one thing I do think we did really well was create a very teamwork philosophy and like family goal of like, it is the six of us, and this is the hand we were dealt, and Tanner requires some extra help and some extra attention, and we are all, the other five of us are going to pitch in and work together, and we are going to love each other, and also we're going to try to find the humor in this where we can, and we're going to try to keep this light and fun, and we are going to all work together for best outcomes. And that was really something that we went back to, that we talked to the other kids about, that we worked hard on. And so I think over the years of parenting, I got more and more confident because I started realizing I am running a big ship. I am multitasking like a crazy woman because I never wanted my other three, as much as was humanly possible, to feel like they were slighted or like their needs or their interests or their talents or their desires or their gifts were not seen. So we really killed ourselves to try and make sure that everyone got to pursue their talent, their dream, their interest. And we did it all. We did dance, we did sports, we did piano, we did gymnastics, we did everything. And in the meantime, we're also doing everything that Tanner needed and taking him to a different school. And, you know, Mark and I tag teamed a lot of those years. And, you know, my interest in and my love of fitness partially, again, was heavily influenced from Mark. He's a former bodybuilder, has always been super active, always been into physical, you know, sporty type things. And I think he really inspired me, like, to be my personal best in that arena of life, because he was always being his personal best. So I feel like there was more of just like a maintaining, like keeping up with him in a good, healthy way, just like wanting to be on equal ground with my partner. And then I started realizing how much the pursuit of physical fitness was so much more than just about keeping your body in shape. It was keeping my mind in shape. It was giving me an identity outside of the home. It was helping me to have a place where I had relationships and interests and connections.
Outside of being a mom or
not
a wife.
Not just a disability mom, not just a special needs mom. I was somebody else to those people. And it was really, really healthy and good for me. And I just made so many friends. And then as the kids got older, I was able to bring some of that, the things I had learned in that world, into Tanner's life, which was so beneficial for him. So that's a huge part of who I am. And I think really attributed to becoming a more confident person, to having an identity, to being who I am today. And, you know, all those things all kind of work together. And I think enabled me to become a stronger advocate, to be more confident when talking about autism and Tanner's situation and what he needed when we had to go in and talk to school in school settings, when we had to talk to new therapists, new doctors. All of those things really, really helped me become a stronger mother and advocate, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Totally makes sense.
So
I love that. And that's kind of where the fitness thing took off. And I think that is your little... You've said it. I feel like you've said it to me. You're like your respite. That's your personal recharge.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. And other things too. And like, I mean, we are very social within our little community. We have a lot of really strong friendships. We love our church. We love our friends. Mark and I are both very, very close to our families on both sides. His family actually lives right next door, so we spend more physical time with them because they're closer. Sure. But we are blessed to have extended family all around us, and we love family traditions, family time. And I think that's evident, like, in Tanner's content and stuff, you know, that we are very tightly knit group.
That's what I was going to say. You said the family. Connor, you know, that was some of the things, like, I was trying to do. Like, I had to redefine our family, because I was so excited to be a wife and a mother when I got married to Simon. And then we had these kids and we were doing all these family traditions. Yeah. And then when that dissolved in 2007, it was like, I did stumble around for a little bit. We ended up, the divorce was actually final in like September. I allowed myself to stumble around a little bit, but then it was like quickly the holidays were approaching, right? I mean, I hate to say it, but it was fall and I had these little kids.
And
it was
the fall,
and it was going to be like Halloween and Thanksgiving. And I thought, what, you know, my divorce, literally, he told me in April of 2007. Mm-hmm. And by September, October, it was done. It was very fast. So I was now, oh my gosh, holidays. And that was the one time, even if our marriage wasn't always great, we always had fun.
Yeah.
And
of course.
So I was like, oh my gosh. So I had to kind of set out on this new redefining, what does lease and four kids holidays?
What is Christmas? What is Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge
so
for
it
kids.
Was, you know, again, not a lot of time to turn around and sit in my feels. I had to sit there and be like, okay, we're going to have our own traditions now.
Yeah.
These are going to be
figure out a new way to do things. Yeah. But that's what moms do. You figure it out. And that's, and literally you, as a mom, you don't have a lot of time to sit in your feels about anything at any, whether married, divorced, you know, special needs kids, regular kids. There's always something. There's always something you're navigating, multitasking, dealing with, unexpected. You just got to pull, you know, you got to figure out a way and move on.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I went into, but the tradition thing, I was trying to, because that meant so much to Connor. And I don't know how Tanner, but Connor.
Oh, yeah.
I have that YouTube channel we do in that. And we did, there was an episode where we were driving, and it's a couple of years ago now. And Tony, my husband, said, you know, what about for Christmas this year? What about we take the kids on an all-inclusive trip?
Yeah.
No presents. No fuss, no muss. Like let's find somewhere. Let's you know, it didn't have to be. It's like, well, let's say a cruise or somewhere we can all go and make a memory together as a family. His kids, my kids, whatever. I was like, gosh, okay, that's cool. Oh my gosh, Connor fell apart.
He was like not having it.
Yeah, because the traditions and in one way I was like a little frustrated by it because I was like, oh, it'd be so much easier to pack up and just go and relax.
Just go.
But not have to worry about parties
cooking
and food
and shopping and cleaning.
All the things. Yeah. Or gifts and all the things, whatever. But then part of me was like, wow, this really means a lot to him. And so, you know, we scrapped the trip.
The best when your older children let you know how much the traditions that you did that they're like, oh, you can't not do that. Like we laugh about it every year at Easter. I'm like, my children are from 29 down to 20 and my ass is still filling Easter eggs, making an egg. And I'm like, Taylor's almost 30. What am I doing?
She's a mother. She has her own baby.
Why am I making her an egg trail? What is happening? But they look at me like I've just like suggested you know, that we burn the house down if we're not going to have an egg trail. I mean, they're like, what?
But, you know, I think that the traditions with the kids and our kids, I think it means a lot to my other kids as well, but with Connor, and it just makes me think about, you know, talking about what we wanted to talk about today and like this classical, you know, some of these behaviors or myths or trends about autism or neurodiversity. Yeah. And some of the things that are out there in the world. And one of the myths that always kind of, I think I subscribed to it before I worked in the field, which we know I have a history of that. And so before that, and you know, again, all we had was the movie Rain Man, right?
Yeah.
To look toward kind of if you didn't have someone in your life with a disability or neurodiversity. And then once I had Connor, or once I started working in the field with autistic individuals and then their families and then my own son. One of the things that I just love to debunk is that people, it used to be said, or it can sometimes be said, that people with autism are unsociable or not empathetic. And I
have a little case study I'd like to show them.
Yeah. I mean, with Connor, the empathy piece, I will dare say, I would walk into, and going back to the years I was working and I was really worn out and I was walking through the door after work knowing
so
I had
stressful.
To cook dinner, do their homework and make lunches for the next day. Like my second job had started after my full day. And I walked in and I must have had some kind of face on, but my other three were just zipping around doing their own little
doing
things.
Thing.
And Connor would freeze and he's like, what's wrong? You're not okay. And he would know.
Aww.
He would always know. And I thought, who says that people on the spectrum or people are don't feel? He feels me almost more than
Tanner does
my other kids.
For sure. Tanner is so like he really is aware of energy and, you know, unspoken communication.
Like a tone.
Oh God, it's crazy. So empathetic. He gets so hurt if someone else is down. He's very concerned and he's not okay until it's resolved.
And that's what Connor, he wants to kind of understand.
Yeah,
and
then Tanner wants resolution.
And then the unsociable piece, you know, Connor did spend a lot of time alone as a kid.
Right.
But I didn't, it's embarrassing to sort of admit sometimes that I think I was so overwhelmed, overworked, and so swirling around the bowl, kind of as I was felt like I was being flushed, that, you know, he was doing it because he needed more scaffolding and structure, but it's not because he didn't want it. It's because he didn't know how to go about getting there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't always present enough to help him because I was just trying to keep us
alive
and that's roofed, so real. You know? I mean, like there are seasons of your life where you just don't get to every child's needs because you're literally trying to do the basics and you have to do them. And anybody who's in that stage, try not to feel guilty about it because they will be okay and they will come through. And things do get easier at a new stage.
And they don't need a Netflix show to be okay. I've always stood on that and I want to keep standing on that.
Or a huge platform. They do not. They do not.
We didn't change because of a Netflix show.
No.
Netflix just put a spotlight on what was going on.
It was already there.
Mm-hmm. And was happening, spotlight, and is going to continue to happen even when the spotlight fades. So I just want to say, like, you know, you don't need that Netflix platform to have these beautiful experiences and then have the stuff happen. But I just want to say that's one of the things that once I really got involved with people on the spectrum and then I had my own son, it was like just such a, it's one of the most empathetic feeling human beings I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. Yeah. And his name's Connor.
I know. Oh, same. Well, Lise, I have an interesting question for you. If Love on the Spectrum had never come along, if either the show never existed or you guys never got on it, where and who do you think you would be and who do you think Connor would be?
I genuinely think Connor would be working. And we knew Connor was underemployed where he was, and it was a great job. He was just always capable of more,
a little more.
And he was, but he loved it. And he really loved where he was. And they even at that job he had, they were trying to move him to different roles.
Okay.
And he didn't really, he tried a couple and wanted to go right back. He really was so happy and thriving as a person in the role he had. And underemployed, I mean, it just means like, you know, all we now know he knows about history or could teach or all these things. Yeah. That muscle wasn't being flexed. But Connor, zoom out, forget. No, he was so happy there. Mm-hmm. So content. He'd had his circle of people. He's got his friends. He loved the customers.
Yep.
I do think Connor would be happily rocking along there. I would be selling granite quartz marble countertops. I still dabble in it.
Would you were very good at it?
Yeah. I was pretty good at it, I think. I think I'm pretty good at that. So I think I'd be still in my sales job. I definitely think we would be trying to troubleshoot where Connor was going to live long term.
Yeah.
And what that looked like. So I'd still be working. Connor would still be working. And I think, I just think that's what we would be doing. We'd be having cocoa. We'd be driving down the road.
You'd still be doing car rides with Connor.
Really would. Because Car Rides with Connor was there before.
Yes, it was.
And we had that little channel for our family. So we'd be riding around with our open coffee mugs, making everybody crazy.
Making everybody laugh. I love it. That's so funny. That's so funny.
I think that's what would you guys be? Where would Tanner be? You know, would y'all be doing?
Yeah, I know. I think, honestly, for Tanner still works at the Shepherd. And a lot of people, I see a lot of comments online, people think assuming that he doesn't. He does. When we're not traveling or doing things, he is right back at the Shepherd.
He enjoys it there.
Loves it. I pray that they always want him to work there because he's very happy and it's very grounding and he has wonderful relationships there and they're a wonderful company. So he loves his job. He's still in the same role. I don't think Tanner's life would look a whole lot different. He just has a lot of additional things going on now. I think we would probably be doing hopefully more advocacy work for Clemson Life, you know, just for that entity. And it's because it was so impactful for him. I mean, for me, honestly, right before the show happened, I had just gotten all my materials to do a nursing refresher course. And I was thinking about renewing my nursing license and going back to work simply because Maverick was driving and handling his own schedule and really didn't need me on the home front all day, every day. And I was thinking, okay, I want to kick something back up. And I think I either would have gone back to nursing or would have found something to do in fitness full time. And I would be, you know, thinking about Tanner's long-term future and thinking about his long-term living plan, which we are very actively doing that
now.
We're
still in it too.
Don't plan for him to live in Clemson indefinitely. I think he will for quite a while, but not indefinitely. It is a harder thing with him living further away from me. It adds a layer of complication getting back and forth to get together. But,
Yeah, I think there'd be more differences in my life than in his, because I really do think I would have gone back to work in the nursing profession, and I was always looking for something. There's just very little, very, very few worth it jobs in the fitness industry that it's hard to find. But that would have been my ideal outlet. So yeah, it's
what's
crazy to think about.
To think about is that I wouldn't know you.
I know. I don't think our paths would have crossed. There would have really been not a reason.
Never.
And wouldn't have known the Marillas, wouldn't have known the Romeos.
I know.
I mean, all the people that we've
met. The
Romeos,
like, I
know.
Just think about
every single cast member. Yeah. And their families are just so great. Oh, and on that note, there's been a lot of requests for people asking if we could interview the moms of the newest cast members. And we just want y'all to know we're working hard on getting that planned. And we are hopeful that we can get some, if not all of them, on for episodes so you
great.
Guys can learn about their kids' childhood and growing up years and diagnosis
we
stories
can just
and
sit
all that.
Back and let y'all enjoy them. And finally, kind of, you know, just to put a big bow on, you know, where we were, where we've been, all the things in the middle. What are we building for the future? And Nikki, I, you know, the blessing of the show, I think, has been our friendship and
yes.
all the relationships and all of the experiences we've been blessed to have in the last 3 years. And I think building going forward, I think Talk to Me Sis was born out of the show, and it was born straight out of our direct messages of
it
parents
was.
Tapping each of us on the shoulder and then us going, wait, why don't we just do this thing?
Yeah.
And I think building this community here with you
that's
guys.
That's a huge goal.
Mm-hmm. You know, we know we don't know everything, but we know Connor and we know Tanner and we know our experience. Happy to share and be your big sis.
And we love to talk. We love to bring on people who do know other things, and we love to interview them. So
And share them with you. And so, you know, that building this community, building a strong, unified community with you guys out there. We don't all need to walk and talk, look alike. We don't
nope.
need to think alike. We don't need to have the same religion or creed. I love to learn from everybody and get to know you, where you're coming from. But that's what I want to build. I want to build a unified
same.
Community with kindness and advocacy in the right direction for everybody. And that's one
Amen.
Thing I'm excited about building about. And I'm excited to help build, you know, Connor's newfound opportunities and just help him reach his new potential, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. So I'm excited to build that. And then just hopefully watch kids get married and have grandkids. That's
what I'm exactly.
About.
I'm already one down on that, and it's the best. So...
What about you, Nikki? What else do you want to build on?
No, same. I really, really want this to be a helpful, informative, and fun outlet for people. I mean, I really do want Talk to Me Sis to be something that where they find good information, they get some good laughs, they have fun, and they feel seen and heard and can learn things. That's really what, and I enjoy it. I love having the opportunity to see you. I love our producers. I love, it's so much fun. And same. I am
Shout
just really
Katie.
Like, yeah, Katie, you're the best. I literally am like so amazed watching my children become adults. It's the funnest thing ever to me.
It's a cool stage of life.
It is a cool stage. And just getting to sit back and be like, okay, wow, all that work. Here it is. They're doing the darn thing. And moving into that like friend and advisor role, that has been so fun to me. Like feeling the freedom to do that, to be like, I don't necessarily have to tell you what to do. I don't have to approve of everything, but I can give you advice and I can be your friend and I can be your honest friend. And that's been so cool to me. Loving the grandparent phase. That's something you really can't describe it till you feel it. And I, same with Tanner, like he's really serious about wanting to host a kid show, and we are doing everything we can to make that happen. We don't know if it's what God has for him. If it isn't, that's okay. But if the door opens and he's able to walk through it, it would be amazing. And I really think just the advocacy work. I mean, talking about, secondary, post collegiate opportunities for people, talking about special needs employment and just
legislation,
letting him,
safety,
everything
housing,
that you guys have done, letting him, the boys, the guys be a face for that.
Caregiver respite, all of it.
All of it. That's what I'm interested in, what I really care about.
Yay. Future's bright. Get the shades out.
That's right. It's all good. It's all good things. All good things.
But Nikki, over to you, because I know we love to support the businesses that support our community and our people. So
we do. And
I want to go over to you if we can.
Yes.
With our business shout out.
Yes, Tanner and I, and Lise was already familiar with this because it's near her geographically, had the honor of visiting Brightside Cafe in Buford, Georgia, which is a darling little town, week before last. And it was so much fun. They did kind of a meet and greet. Connor and Lise were able to stop by, which was a lot of fun. But here is just a little synopsis of Brightside Cafe and who they are and what they do. Brightside Cafe in Buford, Georgia is a coffee smoothie shop that employs adults with special abilities. We believe that every person in our community deserves an opportunity to be seen, to have purpose in their life, and feel success. Through our nonprofit, Brightside Forever Foundation, we have a program called The Bean, which stands for Brightside Empower Ability Network, where we work with local businesses to teach them how to employ as well. That's freaking amazing. We believe that when you open your eyes and see what our guys can do, your heart will make room and your business will flourish. We currently have 17 employees at Brightside Cafe and 12 others from our wait list working at small businesses in our community. Brightside is making a huge difference through our coffee shop as well as our foundation, which is changing our community one job at a time. Check us out at www.brightsidecafebuford.com or go follow us on our socials. They are the coolest. Callie go from season three, Tanner's date from season three and good friend. She worked there for a while and I think she still comes and goes and does little meet and greets and moonlights there. She was there with us that day. She's precious. Yeah. So good to see her. And I cannot say, and one of Tanner's former classmates from Clemson Life, Ashley, is an employee at Brightside Cafe. They had a wonderful reunion seeing each other. The happiest, brightest, most wonderful place. It was fabulous. So if you're in that area, go get yourself a coffee or smoothie at Brightside Cafe. They're amazing.
Do it.
All right, everybody. Well, that's about it for us this week. And thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. It was fun. And stay tuned. We're bringing in the guests. We're excited for our next episode. But before we go, as always, we
love you. Everybody have a great day, week, whatever. Bye.
Pioneer.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.